Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sports reporters assemble!
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, you heard it. It's Friday. So you know, the sports reporters, we have indeed assembled, as we do every Friday on the Chase Thomas podcast, where you can email us at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions for the sports renaissance men, who include Bob Silverman of the Daily Beast. Bob, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. Also joining us from the Detroit Free Press, Andrew Hammond. Andrew, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Aloha. I'm doing good. It's raining right now, so just a heads up, if I go off the grid, that means that power went out. Because we, like, I think, Chase, you would understand. Mm-hmm. Bob, you wouldn't, because, you know, you aren't from the Midwest or you haven't been in the Midwest. Midwestern lightning storms and thunderstorms are intense. And just super intense because, you know, one wide open space is so, like, one lightning strike can just go, you know, it will rattle a nice, you know, whatever mile radius it carries. So, yeah, been dealing with that, trying to get acquainted with that again. But no, other than that, pretty good.
When I was out in Ohio to visit some of my friends of mine at school, we stumbled upon, like, the edges of a hurricane, and that was very intense. So
Those are not fun. I've never been in a hurricane, but like having being on the outer rim or like the remnants of a hurricane.
Right. Terrible. It was terrifying. We just watched the sky go from zero to pitch black in seemingly a matter of seconds, and there was a light drizzle where we were. It wasn't even really raining, but we could see the actual funnel from where we were parked, and we sort of watched it for a while. Yeah, and then we said, okay, time to drive away from here now. But it was very intense. So your East Coast biases notwithstanding, yes, I do have some idea about what might happen if it rains a lot in Detroit and your power goes out.
It's not fun. And yeah, so like Detroit has had like some really bad flooding in metropolitan areas anyway, so yeah. Thankfully I do not have to deal with that, but I definitely feel bad for my D-Town brothers and sisters.
There you go. And shout out to Henri, named after me, the latest hurricane in the Northeast. Good name. Not what I actually go by, but the legal name is Henry for me, for the folks.
Really?
Curious. Yeah.
Henry Thomas.
Correct.
Huh.
I'm already regretting telling you this.
That's a nice handle, Henry Thomas.
Oh, you like it more than Chase Thomas?
Wait. Hold on. Henry Thomas, sorry, I was answering a text. What?
Henry Thomas is Henry is my real first name.
Okay, that's fine.
Is Andrew cool. Your first name?
No, my first name is actually Steven.
We're learning all kinds of stuff.
So my dad and I have the same first name, but just different middle names. And so to cut the confusion, everybody just calls me Andrew. Like if somebody were to call me Steve, like in basically everything from elementary school to college, legally I would put down Steven And so people would, you know, Steven. And I'm just really going around like, Mr. Hammond? Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah. And if you guys want to make Stephen A. jokes, that's cool. I'll just leave the podcast immediately.
I didn't want to do that.
Henry might have, but I didn't want
to. I knew Bob was going to just call me Henry from here on out.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Okay. Do they call you Hank?
I hate
Hank
all of this.
Thomas!
The Hank Thomas podcast actually sounds like either one, a moderate Republican podcast, two,
it's got a real like driving around with mirrored like sunglasses in a pickup and
damn. I wasn't gonna go there, but yeah, it kind of does. Like a home renovation podcast, which I'd actually listen to.
So, you know, my theory about why there are so many dudes recording, you know, Periscope videos and whatnot from their car, and why that's become such a meme is because that is a man's safe space. A man driving around in his car, for one, it's probably got more soundproofing than their living room or another part of their home, whether they're divorced or not. And two, they feel private, taken care of, comfortable, and respected within the confines of that car. I understand that. I understand why they're doing it from that location completely. Or at least I feel like I do. I could be totally wrong.
This is wild. What rabbit hole are we going down right now?
I'm just wondering, were you named after the actor Henry Thomas, who was the kid lead in the movie E.T.?
People do tell me about that,
but I didn't want to be that guy.
I'm named after my grandfather. So my first name is after my grandfather, my late grandfather, and the middle name is actually my great-grandfather. So my middle name's not Chase either.
What's your middle name?
I know. This is what makes it even more complicated.
What is your middle name?
Charles.
It's in the box.
Henry Charles Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a solid American name. Where the hell did Chase come from?
So my parents never had any interest in calling me either of those names. They just wanted to name me after my grandfather and great-grandfather, and they did not know a Chase growing up, so they called me Chase from the outset. So they wanted to call me something different that no one else was referred to as at the time, but they wanted to still have my legal name be after it.
My nephew is actually, we call him Rocky. His name is Rocky. The name on his birth certificate is not Rocky. It is Gideon, because I don't know. My sister is worried about him having to fill out a job application, and if people see Rocky, they might think less of him, or he might not like it when he gets older. In any case, his middle name is Rocky. Why they decided to call him Rocky, I don't know. We'll bring my sister on the pod, and she can discuss it later. But it is certainly not the name on his birth certificate, which is Gideon, which I'm not exactly thrilled about either, but that's fine. In any case, yeah, so I get the whole Chase thing. That makes some sort of kind.
Well, the problem is, like, in my adult life, and really when I started working and stuff, when people would see my middle name start with a C, some stuff, it would just assume that my legal name was Chase, not Charles, so they would do my paperwork incorrectly. So, like, that's happened before, where companies just assume that Henry C, when I'm signing my name and doing stuff, that Henry C is Henry Chase. So that's a different person entirely. So that,
did anyone ever call you High C or anything like that?
No, that was not a common thing.
That's you know, Chase, let's just Bob. Bob.
Sorry.
But shout out to dogs. Bob said, Andrew, you saw the text thread with the Max in the back.
I did.
In the backpack.
So adorable.
Max is a cute dog.
He's a real freaking Muppet, I'll tell you that.
He really looks like a Muppet.
Yeah, Max is good. What I've been told from other people on the internet is that this breed is actually, also, in addition to everything else, is very prone. This is a Cocker Poodle, which my girlfriend and I adopted, is very prone to thinking it's much bigger than other dogs. And this is something I've noticed while taking him for walks. If another dog passes, he just freezes until the other dog either walks away or approaches him in a submissive kind of pose. But I have to be very careful, because eventually he's going to walk past an actual big frightening dog that could just bite him in half. But he doesn't seem to know that. He thinks he's a big badass. It's not true.
There you go. There you go.
This has been Dog and Name Talk. All right.
Which naturally leads us to which NFL quarterback battle has been the most fascinating for you all. Let's start with Andrew. Which is it Jameis beating out Taysom in New Orleans? Is it Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance? Fields and Dalton? Who have you enjoyed
the
most?
Fields and Dalton, and it's not even close. Based on the sheer hilarity of one, like, eventually Justin Fields is going to be the guy in Chicago. Like, once again, you don't trade up in the draft for a guy that you're going to sit, you know, like that's going to be sitting, you know, in October. Like, you don't do that. I get that you bring in Andy Dalton for some veteran leadership and some veteran help in the QB room. Some other teams could have done that. Hi, Dallas Cowboys. So they got
Garrett Gilbert. They're fine. SMU legend Garrett Gilbert, former Texas National Championship quarterback. Garrett Gilbert.
Just a sidebar on the Cowboys, since it pisses me off thinking about it. You're telling me that you can't bring in a veteran quarterback? I get you want to have Dak.
I will Venmo either of you $3 if you can name the Jets' backup quarterback.
Ooh, Brooks Wallinger. No, hold on. Let me do this.
You get one guess. You can't just name
Jim Sorgi.
Hold on. Get one real guess.
You get one real guess, and you can't Google.
Okay.
Okay.
So
I promise.
Chase, you go first.
I should know this. It's somewhat. I know the Jets QB room is a joke behind Zach Wilson, and it's weird because I was just in the AFC's preview this week on the pod. So I looked at this. Oh no, who is it? Not Matt Sims. Not Matt Sims. I don't know. Crap. I really don't know off the top of my head. I'm not going to guess.
All right, I'll give you... You've already lost out on the $3, but I'll give you a hint.
Mm-hmm.
The White Lotus.
I'm only 3 episodes in. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. It doesn't matter how many episodes you've watched.
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh.
So just give
it's
me the
good
damn
at
answer.
It's good at making fun of a particular phylum of rich people. You will recognize most categories of awful rich people. It's fun.
Wait, is it Josh Johnson?
What does that have to do with the White Lotus?
No, I'm thinking about the list. Is it Josh Johnson?
It's not Josh Johnson. They brought him in, but he's not the backup.
Okay, see, I remember him coming in.
It's Mike White! Mike White, also the writer and director of The White Lotus, famed for such films as Chuck and Buck and School of Rock, not related to the Jets' current backup quarterback. Andrew, was he a college guy?
I
have no idea who Mike White is, but he's the Jets' backup quarterback.
Andrew, I don't remember Mike White at all. Do you know who that is?
I was going to say, is that like a Northeastern University type?
You can start Googling now. I don't know any more about him other than his name is Mike White, and he is not...
He played at South Carolina or South Florida and Western Kentucky. Okay, that's what it is here. Okay. Wow.
Okay.
I have no memory of this person in college.
I thought he was like one of those Northeastern guys,
Delaware hen kind of vibe about him.
Delaware.
One of those guys that they picked up, you know, in the like fifth or sixth round that you're because there's always
they
a
have
quarterback.
That guy also. It's James Morgan, who is the other guy that they drafted.
Okay, so that's what I was thinking. But when you said Mike White, that's who I was actually thinking about. Where it's like, wait a minute, didn't they be? It's not like the whole Tom Brady thing where you pick a guy up and, like, I'm talking about a guy like you haven't heard of and some team drafts him and they're like, yeah, he's going to be a backup or he's going to sit for a few years. And you're like,
The sons of Matt Flynn is what you're talking about.
It's like I've watched enough college to know, like, I watched enough college to know who Matt Flynn is. But it's like there's always a handful of guys that are on a two deep and you're like, wait a minute, I don't remember that guy playing in college at all, but then you realize he played at like Charleston or one of these other schools that's on like ESPN, you know, plus two, three times a year, and you're like, oh, good for him. Congratulations. But yeah, no. But back to the
back
Bears.
To the Bears.
Yeah. So, Adam Gase and the GM there, Ryan Pace. Look, I get it. I totally get why you stick with Andy Dalton.
Wait, but, why?
Well, Fields is going to die. Jason Peters is starting at left tackle. The Bears' offensive line's really, really bad.
So you're just delaying the inevitable?
I wouldn't play him this year.
I don't think they – no, he'll play this year.
He will play this year, but I wouldn't. I would not put him behind this offensive line. I think Nagy's going to get fired. Like, it's a lot of bad juju there.
I don't know if he gets fired. I think they want to pull the trigger. I think they are going to pull the trigger, but it's definitely one of those things where it's like, Andy – We are going to give you every opportunity in the world to lock up this job. And I would say if he doesn't have it locked up by the second week of the season, you've got to make the move.
But you look in this, not to go in the current iteration of the NFL with the salary cap structure being as it is, you cannot afford a redshirt year for a highly picked quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. You're pissing away too much salary cap value to say, well, Tevin Jenkins, which I just Googled and discovered, is evidently already dead. So we have no offensive line, and we're just going to let Andy Dalton get his teeth punched in for a couple of games first. But you're basically saying we're de facto tanking this year. But you cannot. I don't think the NFL allows for that, like, you know, the whole myth of, like, well, a rookie quarterback should sit for 5 years and learn. Like, nobody sits for a year now who's particularly good. Nobody does.
I will give you one.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, it's not like he didn't sit the entire year, but he sat a majority of the year and then played, And then played, the last two games of the season, I want to say. And then they went to the playoff. And, yeah, we aren't going to talk about that playoff game if you're a Chiefs fan. Yeah, that's the game we don't talk about at parties.
Okay, yeah, but Mahomes was, if I'm remembering correctly, the whole point about it was that Mahomes was just way too raw to be thrown into the fire.
Well, it was also they were ready to win now, and Alex Smith was good enough to win now. Like, they were a really, really good team. That was the other part of it.
It was definitely one of those things where it's like, Alex Smith knew, okay, this guy is going to be next. So, and to Alex Smith's credit, what he did was he helped Patrick along the way. Andy Dalton still thinks he has another 2-3 years in him, which...
Does he?
No, but if he was in a different situation, I would say otherwise. I.e., if he was a Jet, fine, go for it. But
again, Mike White. So
if he was in another situation, I'm not saying that I'd buy it, but I'm like, you know what? Okay, makes sense, but this situation, nah. Mm-mm. Nope.
My favorite is Josh Rosen versus Matt Ryan. No,
poor Josh Rosen.
I don't poor Josh Rosen him anymore. Like, at this point, with Shanahan, with everywhere he's been, it's not going to work. Like, at this point, it's like there's something that we don't see where he's just like, he's just bad. Like, that dude was just going to be bad wherever he was. I think we're at that point with him. But when we talk about these quarterback battles, I think New Orleans is going to be fascinating. Because did y'all watch the bombs that Jameis was dropping?
That's what he always does. Look, Jameis always going to take... He took shots against the second team defense. Like, Jameis Winston will do the exact same... I think we're pretty well acquainted with what Jameis Winston is and is not.
Well, this is year two with Sean Payton. Like, he re-signed with him.
Oh, okay.
I am not saying I believe it. I am saying there is always the possibility. The pedigree is there. Like, I remember reading the quotes about Saban when he was watching Jameis. And, like, Jameis is still... He does a lot of the weird stuff. the weird hip things and everything he does before, like the arm wheel he was doing before that game on Monday night, but the bucket bombs that he drops to Marquez Callaway, shout out to Callaway. But I don't know. I like the Saints are just so hard to read, and also one of the things that helps him is they still have an elite offensive line. They locked up Terron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk on the tackle spots. You still have Kamara as your safety net. That's one of the best safety nets in football. You still have Mike Thomas. Still,
Mike Thomas is out till November, man. Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
Mike.
Is that reported?
That's I read that on the internet.
I know he's out for a while.
He's out for a while. I didn't think it was November.
But yeah. At the same time, does Mike Thomas want to be there?
He doesn't have to want to be there. Julio Jones didn't want to be in Atlanta last year, and he was still putting up numbers. Guys will put up numbers if they want to get paid. Like, they'll do it.
Also, you mentioned Jameis throwing the football really, really well. I don't know if you guys remember this, Chase. You might remember it. Mm-hmm. Remember his debut against Pitt when he was at Florida State?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he was just throwing absolute bombs like that. And look, I get college and pro are different, and you know, you progress skill wise, but if the Jameis that was at Florida State
that won a national title
football like nobody's business, look out.
Yeah.
Because
he's gonna get, what did he throw, 30 interceptions?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is I don't think Peyton's going to allow him to do that. Like,
no,
I don't think...
No,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, he won't allow him. He will...
Well, yeah, there's a very different thing between Bruce Arians' style of go deep and just see what happens. Like, the Bruce Arians' style is very, very different than the Sean Peyton dink and dunk
Bruce
stuff.
Bruce Arians set up Jameis Winston to fail, but...
You are saying that.
Well, also, it was Dirk Cutter more than even...
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, Dirk Cutter does it. Like, Dirk Cutter has this experience of doing this. But, like, by and large, Jameis has not been in a system where, like, he's going to be limited and they're going to be like,
got,
no.
Like, okay, look, Michael Thomas is not entirely healthy. Whether or not thing I read on the internet that said he would be out till November in preparation for my fantasy draft is accurate. Who else are the, like, I think Tre'Quan Smith is also out. He's got a good offensive line, and he's got Kamara. That's...
Little Jordan Humphrey, Texas legend.
Oh. Okay. I mean,
Alvin Kamara is more than, like, you can survive for a while just force-feeding Alvin Kamara with the usage that he's going to get. Tre'Quan Smith, I think, will be fine, but Marquez Callaway is good. As someone who's watched a lot of Marquez Callaway in my life, that he's a good player. He'll be fine. Tennessee legend Marquez Callaway.
He's a volunteer.
Yeah, he is a volunteer. The best players are, I don't know if you knew, like Cordell Patterson, Justin Hunter, Alvin Kamara, who is now on the billboard outside of Neyland. Did you know that, Andrew?
You know, it's fascinating that he is, given the way that he left.
It's all about recruiting. We have nobody we can put up recently where people are like, oh yeah, come to Tennessee because of player X becoming, and it's like, no,
yeah,
Kamara is the number one.
Jarrett Garantano... Still, I believe, still in college.
He is. He's at Washington State, where he is losing the quarterback battle.
Washington State quarterback battle, huh? Now you know it's signs that the college football season is near, because Washington State can't decide which guy is going to throw for over 5,000 yards.
They also shouldn't have their current coach. Nick Rolovich should have been let go.
They should not. He should have been fired, absolutely.
I don't know if you knew, if you've been keeping up with the Cougs and their coaching issues.
I have been keeping up with the Vax hesitant Washington Cougars head coach. Yes, I have.
Well, guys, let's move. Well, actually, let's take a
that's
quick...
an important sports story that I have to know about. It's my,
It's important. It's important. All right, well, we're going to pause real quick.
That's the really funny thing. Okay, before we get to the commercial break, the really funny thing is, in my extensive preparations, i.e. I read a couple of blogs for my fantasy drafts, I now have to consider which players are vaccine hesitant and therefore likely to miss a couple of games.
Yes, same.
How many quarterbacks did you find?
Well, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins. Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson. Is that enough guys to take off your board?
That's a lot, but Lamar, like, Could you get it again? Like, he's already had it, what, twice?
He's had it twice. He's had it twice, which is crazy because I know people who have had COVID twice, and I don't know what it is, but the two people I know that have had it twice haven't, like, it hasn't clicked yet. So hearing Lamar Jackson basically say, yeah, and I'll continue to do my research, dumbass, you've got COVID twice.
I mean, like, and we, you have to, when drafting Lamar Jackson, again, priorities, people. When considering whether to take Lamar Jackson in, like, the third round, you have to think to yourself, well, I wonder if there'll be any lingering side effects from, like, him being a two-time COVID winner. And like, that's just not, that's taking some of the escapist fun out of fantasy sports for me, if I'm being honest.
We're going to pause real quick for a message from our sponsors. All right, we're back on the Chase Thomas Podcast, the Sports Reporters edition of the podcast here on this Friday afternoon, where I'm still joined by Robert Silverman of the Daily Beast and Andrew Hammond of the Detroit Free Press. Bob, there was an NBA trade today. Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, I am baffled by this trade. First of all, can I just say it's a little weird to me that you got America's frontline doctors to sponsor the Chase Thomas Podcast. You know, look, whatever advertising dollars you can get, and, you know, maybe some of your listeners are into horse paste. Why not? I am really... Look, Lauri Markkanen is... I mean, I guess there is value in having a C-plus version of Kristaps Porzingis on the roster, but I am very confused by this Cavaliers trade. For one, they gave up Larry Nance Jr., who is legitimately useful, and they now have... I forget who put it. Someone, it's either Kirk Henderson or Colin McGowan put it on Twitter. One of them did, and they put it well. They got like $160 million in contracts invested in like depressed white guys to keep Evan Mobley from succeeding. I am very confused by this. They've got like, let's say that Lauri Markkanen turns into the best version of him, which is, you know, a 28 scorer, a definite floor spreader with a more diverse offensive game, a legit offensive weapon, if not much of a defender or rim protector. That's a valuable player to have on the roster. You could question whether you'd want to pay $17 million a year for that, but okay. You can't really play, if you're thinking that Mobley will mature enough and develop enough strength to play center. You have now just minimized Jared Allen, the rim-running center who you spent $100 million on for the next 4 years.
I can't stop laughing.
If the point was to play like Allen and Mobley together till Mobley gets strong enough in 4 years, where are you going to find time for this like large poor man's Kristaps that you just signed? Let alone like Kevin Love still sort of being depressed and hanging around the end of the bench.
This is the husk of Kevin Love erasure that you were doing, but then you finally.
I'm assuming they're going to buy him out. Even if they do, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Doesn't make a damn bit of sense. And I'm sorry, Lauri Markkanen had probably one of the. I'm not saying he had one of the worst contracts in the league, but it was definitely kind of like, hey, who wants this Sega Genesis that's busted in half? And the Cavs are like, screw it, give them to us.
We will give assets up to get a considerably worse, more expensive player.
You fired
it's very
off
weird.
Did you see the real GM story on basically how the people are like kind of fleecing the Cavs? Like it's pretty much well known that people are just going to start fleecing the Cavs.
Maybe Kobe Altman isn't good at his job.
He's not.
I am so confused by it.
Well, just hold like, on. What? To be like, in fairness, their 8-9 man rotation is good. Like this eight.
No.
Man, yes.
No.
Yes. Yes. No. It is. If everything's healthy, Jared Allen, Kevin Love, Evan Mobley, Lauri Markkanen, who will probably split time between the 4 and the 5.
Just build a whole plane out of power forward.
Well, hold on. Hold on. Isaac Okoro is a really good defender. Like him a lot. You have... Yeah. You have... Hold on. Hold on, Bob. You still have Darius Garland, who looked a lot better last year. He's going to be a really good shooter in this league. I think they just have one more move to make, which is flipping Colin Sexton for a veteran wing guy. If they flip Colin Sexton, which I think they should do, I don't hate this. I don't hate what they're trying to do. I understand it.
The first four guys you named, none of them fit well together. And even if all four,
well, you stagger the first four. Like, that's the thing. It's like you're going to stagger them.
You just stagger them. That's how you do.
Kevin Love's going to miss a lot of time, and Lauri Markkanen's going to get a lot of starts at the four, and you don't have to rush Mobley into these situations. You can see if Mobley can play the three, because that has been rumored.
No, he can't play the three.
If you read draft boards, people are wondering if he can play the three.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll check out 4chan and see what they think about Evan Mobley playing the three. No, he can't play.
It shouldn't have been that
three.
Funny, Bob. It shouldn't have been that funny, damn it.
They were interested in Josh Hart.
The game FAQ's message board has some very interesting takes on this, which is that maybe Evan Mobley can... No, he can't. No.
Okay. No. All I'm saying is I think they still have one more move. I will be surprised if they don't add somebody like a Josh Hart to fill out the wing depth.
Josh Hart, fine.
What I'm saying is somebody like Josh Hart, because they were rumored to be looking to sign.
There's nobody. The cupboard is bare.
It's not bare.
You're talking about in Cleveland?
Yes.
Josh Hart doesn't deserve that. Like, I get what you're saying, Chase.
Josh Hart is back in New Orleans. It's fine. He doesn't...
No, I mean, you have Eric Gordon sitting there in Houston. You have...
So you're going to trade for another undersized guard?
Who can score? You need some scoring. Like, where Cleveland is right now is where Atlanta was last year, except they don't have anyone.
What I am saying, Bob,
is there is so much pressure, because if Kobe Altman does not get this group into the postseason this year, he's gone. Jimmy Bickerstaff is gone. The same was true for Lloyd Pierce and Travis Schlenk last year. The reason Travis Schlenk spent as much as he did,
and you know this being a vile Hawks fan, the last year before they got good, the Hawks still had three players, all of whom are better than anyone on the current Cavs.
Oh, that's not true. Who are you saying are the three?
John Collins, Clint Capella, and Trae Young.
John Collins is not better than Darius Garland. It's not true.
Yes, he is.
No.
Yeah, Chase, he is.
He's not. Yes, Darius Garland was good last year.
Darius Garland is an undersized shoot first point guard who cannot defend who will be just as much of a liability on defense as Trae Young without the passing acumen or the shooting skill.
But you're also missing my broader point, which is it was more about the management ownership situation, which is
I'm not telling them that they need needing to go for it as a mandate lest all these people lose their jobs is not a real pressure on this organization. What I'm making fun of is the way in which they are going about it, which is bad. Like, look, if Cleveland had thrown a bunch of assets at Philly for if they had made an offer of Sexton, Love, Nance, and Okoro for Ben Simmons, that I would think would be interesting and a go for it move.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Ben Simmons might not pout his way out of Cleveland eventually, but okay.
You're not getting Ben Simmons.
Someone's going to get Ben Simmons.
It's not going to be Cleveland.
Why couldn't it be Cleveland?
Well, I don't think Daryl Morey is interested in their assets. Daryl Morey, if you look at what he's asking, I don't think he's going to settle for them.
Right. So, I'm just saying, trading for Lauri Markkanen.
I mean, the right trade for Portland, is Ben Simmons. Lillard for Simmons is the most logical one. That
sounds so awful.
No, you're not getting Lillard for Simmons because one is better than the other. You're not doing that. If you're Philly, you're doing that. But Portland...
Honestly, Chauncey could... I mean, Ben Simmons could use somebody like Chauncey. I will say, because he needs somebody that's going to kick him in the butt.
Well, also, he can just go and hide out.
Is not capable of butt kicking? Is that beyond his skill set? I feel like he could do that.
Who?
Doc.
No, I can't believe I'm actually doing this. I will defend Doc Rivers. When it came to the whole thing with Ben Simmons, I think Doc was in the I'm coaching the Celtics, I'm coaching the Clippers, where it's going to be the vets that are basically going to take Ben Simmons aside, and if they got to yell at him in a film session or in a practice, basically to get his head on straight and like, dude, you are capable of so much more. Stop being a punk. There's nobody on that roster that did that. There's nobody. You don't have a PJ Tucker.
I feel like it's not a tough love problem with Ben Simmons. I feel like he can't score.
And it's mental thing. Love. Like, it's is absolutely it? Mental. Yes! The dude literally passed up, was it a dunk or a layup, would have gotten fouled, can't go the free throw line, and who on that team is going to sit there and go, you know, like, just basically give him the come to Jesus meeting
This is not, to me, it's not a question, like, does he have the yips a little bit? Maybe, but I don't know if, like, you know, taking him to the woodshed is the way to cure the problem. I just think he's not very good yet at offense, at shooting and scoring the ball. That's a problem. Not all players can develop those skills. It's not just a question of grit and hard work and all that. I don't know. I mean, look. Philly has to trade him because, like, even a peak version of Simmons doesn't work really well with Embiid. So they have to trade him. But, I mean, look, the thing that I remember people saying out of Simmons when he was coming out of LSU was, best case scenario, he's like a 6'11 Rajon Rondo. And I think that's still entirely true. And that can be a very valuable player. But you just have to know that he's a 6'11 Rajon Rondo. I've stunned you both into silence with my comp.
I just think that's the worst case scenario for Ben Simmons. Like, he's still, like, if he gets over the mental stuff, like, he's the second or third best player in basketball immediately.
I don't think it's necessarily mental. I think he's
bad. No, we see the shooting in practice. We see the shooting with what he's doing.
Are you referring to, like, 4chan message boards to assert that Evan Mobley can play small forward is really a close second in terms of specious arguments to, look, I've seen the highlight videos, man. They were
no. What I'm saying is, like, that he has, like, it.
Drew Hanlon posted some, and he's shooting really well. Mm-hmm. That mix is entirely not cut and pasted of, like, the three shots he made in a pickup game. Come on.
I don't know. I think there's still something there. There's just still too much talent. Like, Ben Simmons is still just too talented. But we'll see.
At the things he's talented at being a guy who can defend 1 through 5, which is very rare, at, you know, running an offense and, you know, especially in transition. Yeah, he is incredibly talented at those things. He is bad at 2 or 3 other very important things, which during the regular season, you can pretty much paper over, but in the playoffs, other teams will exploit that. You could say he's only, what is he now, 24? 23? 24. I don't know. He's young.
He's got to be older than 23. There's no way he's only 23.
He came out at 19. I don't think he's much older than that.
He's like 25. Hold on. What is he, Andrew? What is he? He is...
Yeah.
King 25. Year. Yes.
He Boom. Just turned 25 a month ago.
Boom. Chase Thomas, the basketball guy. That's what they call me.
I call you Hank Thomas, the basketball guy.
Hank Thomas sounds like a guy who runs a basketball camp.
I hate this. No more. We're not going down the Hank Thomas rabbit hole.
Questionable allegations.
I hate all of this. Andrew, because Bob is... We gotta settle Bob down. So, you know what it's time for? The college football minute on the Chase Thomas podcast. All right,
time to get some coffee.
And it's week 0. Happy Scott Frost Day to everybody who celebrates.
Mm-hmm. What are you most looking forward to on the noon kickoff between Nebraska and the Illinois Fighting Illini, Bruce Feldman, Brett Bielema making his return to the big Scott Frost under some scrutiny.
I'm not saying that they had to open up with this game, but they could have picked something else. Because you have a Nebraska team. Quite frankly, I have Nebraska barely getting into a bowl this year at 6-6. I think there's enough decent pieces there that they will kind of put their way to a 6-win season. Illinois is going to be bad. Illinois is going to be bad for a few years. And
I don't know about that.
Yeah, they're going to be bad for a few
years. Brett Bielema, that man knows the Big Ten. He doesn't really, it didn't work at Arkansas, but, his style worked in the Big Ten. No. It doesn't work in the SEC.
Here's the thing. The style that that worked at Wisconsin, that worked at Arkansas, I don't know if it's actually going to work in the Big Ten, mainly because everything else is evolving. Brett Bielema jumped at the height of the intellectual brutality era of college football, where while people were going spread and air raid, a lot of teams were having success with the power run game. He did that at Arkansas. Awesome, great. You have all these weapons and pieces around you, and what did you do with it? You kind of wasted a top 10 team and didn't do much. Now you're at Illinois, which you can bring in all the – it's not like Illinois is starved for talent in terms of that state and that region. You can get kids there. The issue is, are they going to be good enough? Because I'm looking around the conference, and aside from Purdue and Michigan State, who are they going to beat? Who do they have a chance to beat on a consistent basis? Maybe you clip Nebraska in the first game of the season?
I think they cover. The spread's 7 going into this. Do you have them covering?
Yeah, probably. Because one, it's the first game of the season. I would be shocked if Nebraska won this game by more than 10 points. Just because we really don't know what this Nebraska team is going to look like. Like, Illinois, you have an idea, but we really don't know about Nebraska. Are we doing our college football playoff picks this week or next week?
Well, I mean, we got college football starting this weekend, and then Tennessee will already be 1-0 the next time we record.
I didn't know if we were doing it this weekend or next weekend because, oh boy, give me your top four. Give me your preseason.
Well,
prediction.
On my SEC preview last night with Matt Green, the people we can check out on this feed, we did our SEC preview and our predictions. Like, I have Florida and A&M in the SEC title game, and I have Texas A&M winning.
I have Alabama winning the league, but I think they're going to lose a game.
Their schedule's brutal. This is a rough schedule.
You know what? It's brutal for Alabama standards.
Mm-hmm.
It's brutal because, quite frankly, I don't think it's actually that bad. But if you're a team that's replacing generational talents and you're replacing a lot of guys and you're bringing in a new quarterback, yeah, it's tough. At Florida, I don't trust Florida all the way. But I think if I had to have my playoff four right now, Oklahoma, because I think
Oklahoma's in my four.
I think this is the year Oklahoma does it, and we can replay this when they eventually bite the dust to Baylor or TCU. So Oklahoma, I've got Oregon sneaking in.
Oh, no, thanks. Anthony Brown?
Sneaking in.
Nah, they're not even winning the Pac-12.
No. Ooh. You better not say who I think you're going to say is winning the Pac-12. But
I have Washington winning the Pac-12.
See, that's the thing. I don't think Washington is – if Washington can actually –
they should have been in the game last year. They got canceled.
Yeah, I get it, but I don't trust Washington.
You should. Jimmy Lake's legit. That group's legit.
I don't trust Washington in terms of their offense. I think defensively they're going to be fine. It's the offense that I worry about. Consistency, i.e., look at the Utah game.
But that's Utah. Utah's great. They're a top four Pac-12 team, too.
No, absolutely. So I would put, because I think Oregon's going to clip Ohio State in the shoe. So I've got Oklahoma, Oregon, Georgia.
No. I hate it. Come on.
And the third and the fourth team I'm putting in, because I think Ohio State will not get in, Clemson.
A
one-loss Clemson that sneaks in, that basically backdoors their way in.
So who are your four?
Oklahoma, Oregon, Georgia, Clemson.
Okay. And who do you have winning the national title?
Oh, God. Oklahoma.
Oh, my goodness.
I think.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I hate it, too.
I don't hate it. It's bold,
again,
though.
I think we are due for somebody backdooring their way in because of a late season slide or somebody losing. There's way too many teams fighting at the top that's going to happen somewhere along the line.
Yeah. I have Clemson, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Wisconsin.
I like the Wisconsin pick.
And I think Clemson wins.
Here's my question about Wisconsin.
Will Shipley's going to be a monster.
Yeah. The only question I have about Wisconsin is, can you... And I'm not saying that they're going to, that their schedule is easy. It's not easy at all. It's actually pretty damn tough for a team that could, reach the playoff. Can you sustain that first real haymaker from one of the big boys, say, if they play, I don't know if they play Ohio State during the season, but
they do not.
If they play a Penn State, or if they play a Michigan, or if they play...
They open with Penn State.
Yeah, so you've got to sustain those blows, because Notre Dame...
Well, this is important. They get Michigan and Penn State at home.
Yeah.
And they avoid Ohio State. They get Iowa at home, who has the best odds of winning the West if it's not Wisconsin. They get Northwestern at home. Yeah. Their schedule's nice.
The path is there. My thing is, can you sustain those blows? Because the one thing that every non-Ohio State playoff team has struggled with is dealing with the knockout blows. And dealing with, Michigan State took Ohio's best shot, 2014, the second year of the playoff? And you're like, oh, shit, this is actually happening. That's my worry when it comes to Wisconsin. Can you actually close the deal? Because what we used to say, it's a completely different sport, but Jay Wright, Paul Christ, pre-national champion Jay Wright and Paul Christ, kind of in the same boat right now. We know you have the tools to do it. Can you actually close the deal?
I say yes.
I think they win the Big Ten, but I don't know.
We're gonna see. Is Bob back?
Yeah, when I go away, I still listen to everything you guys say.
What do you think, Bob? Who's winning the national title?
I'm gonna say Oregon.
Okay. Big Ty Thompson guy over here.
Yeah, just because you guys haven't said, you guys said other teams.
No, he was talking about Oregon for a while.
Yeah, I put
he has Oregon winning the Pac-12.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Oregon. It's been a while. They got cool uniforms.
Does Clay Helton stay another year?
I think it's still set up where, they should be the favorites. They have the most talent. They should
win the South.
Yes.
It's hilarious. It's legitimate. It legitimately cracks me up that we put this team, like, there's so much, like, everybody wants Clay Helton gone. And I'm just like, y'all, if he wins more than 8 games, like, what are you going to fire him
for? Well, no, USC is one of the, like, so this is interesting. So, and I promise this will be it on the College Football Minute. Like, the reason that USC
it's been more than a minute.
I know, oh, I know.
Shut up.
So, no, like, I think, okay, USC, Texas, Bama, Florida, Georgia, and Miami, and probably Ohio State now in this category too. They are allowed to have, like, just insane expectations. They are allowed to have ridiculous, preposterous, like, if you don't win 10 games, you're out expectations, because the in-state recruiting is so lush with talent that being in the Southern California orbit and getting the kind of players that just walk into USC in your campus because of your geography, because of all of this, like, you not winning consistently at USC is unacceptable. Like, it's just, it's too good of a recruiting hotbed. It's too easy to win there if you recruit, like, with the talent that is readily available, that, yes, I think it should be a cutthroat coaching situation there, where it's like, no, if you don't win 11, 10 games every single year, you're gone, because there's no excuse. Like, there's no excuse not to win double-digit wins every year at USC, at Texas, at Oklahoma, at Georgia, at Florida, at Miami, because the talent level is so, so strong, and it's so easy because it's right there. You don't even have to worry about locking down your state. Like, it's just right there. Like, it sells itself. The brand is big enough that you are easily able to turn those programs around with the right coach. And it's,
but if he's making Pac-12 championship games, mm-hmm, and making the New Year Six, which, spoiler alert, I think they do, actually against Wisconsin, like, what are you gonna fire the guy for? Not winning enough?
Yes.
Okay, here's my answer to that, though. Nebraska, Michigan.
They're not Nebraska. It's USC.
I'm saying, but you got rid of a guy because he wasn't winning enough.
Because they're at Nebraska. They're not the same. You can't get kids from Southern California to go live in Nebraska. Recruiting at Nebraska is hard.
Tom Osborne did that. Like, Chase, I know you're young.
No, that was 30 years ago.
So you're telling me that the whole Scott, like, what Scott Frost was doing at Central Florida and trying to do it in Nebraska,
it will not work. Kids, no.
I'm not saying that you have to. I mean, you have to lock down your own state, of course.
But yeah, Josh Heupel just came from UCF too. He's already made it a point. Like, all they want to do is lock down the state of Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt, one of his biggest downfalls is he talked crap about the state of Tennessee, and, like, coaches in the state did not like him because of, like, he didn't care, because he's like, there's a bunch of 3-star, 4-stars here. Like, I'm going big fish hunting. I'm going after the 5-stars, and none of them are in the state of Tennessee. None of them are in the state of Nebraska.
Which was his biggest mistake, because literally a lot of schools do that. Why do you think they have all this coach turnover? But no, if Clay Helton goes to another Pac-12 championship game, and say he loses to Oregon, who ends up, I think all of us have them in the playoff.
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, you don't.
I have Washington winning the Pac-12.
Yeah, but if he reaches another Pac-12 championship game, unless you have the guy locked down, because remember, we've been through this before. Remember Cliff Kingsbury?
He's got a very nice home in Arizona. That's what
he does.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he does. It's the floor to ceiling windows are spectacular.
I also wouldn't be surprised if Cliff Kingsbury is the next coach, because I think Graham Harrell's there, still their OC, and they already run the air raid. If he gets fired from Arizona, you could just transfer that over.
Here's my thing. Do you fire Cliff, though?
Who? Arizona? Yeah, their schedule's brutal. Like, they're finishing last in that division.
Like, well, it's not their fault that the division decided to beef up when they did.
Yeah.
Arizona, you just exist here.
Yeah, like, who are you really picking them over? Stafford and the Rams, Wilson and the Seahawks, the Niners healthy? Like, no, like, you're not.
Yeah, all those. No, yeah, I'm sorry. San Francisco is, look, if San Francisco is going to be playing Trey Lance halfway through the year, I'm not sure that their stranglehold on the division is secure.
Seattle, like, beclowns itself every single year. Sean McKay is a fraud. Like, Arizona could absolutely steal
them. Seahawks have literally only not won double digits once in Russell Wilson's tenure in Seattle. People who discount Seattle is one of the most baffling things. It's like, show me the year.
They're going to finish 11-5.
Yeah, like,
absolutely. They will finish 11-5 or 10-6. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think 11 wins that division.
Yeah,
I would say 11 wins.
The Rams are frauds. San Francisco, like I said, is going to try and jumpstart the Trey Lance era. And while he looks very impressive and is probably going to be a very fine quarterback, there will be growing pains. I'm saying yes, if Kyler Murray has a year of development, gets better, and spends, you know, there's a non-zero chance that Arizona could steal that division, and Cliff Kingsbury will get another year there with his lovely open floor plan living room.
Bob, what is your pick of the week?
I'm saying don't write off the Arizona Cardinals.
I will.
There's a fine story that just got published today at Business Insider by a friend of mine, Bradford William Davis, who used to be at the New York Daily News but is now at Business Insider, where he did some sleuthing to find out who rubbed out the words Black Lives Matter that Devin Williams drew into the pitcher's mound last year during the protests. In any case, I won't give away what he uncovered in this investigation, but there's some quality sleuthing in that blog, and I will recommend it to everyone.
There you go. Andrew, what about you?
Honestly, I just need some fantasy football advice this year.
Where do you go for your fantasy football
advice? I hate the term fantasy football analyst. I hate it so much because basically you're just trying to guess as good as we are. But then they'll say, oh yeah, well, you know, we kind of had a feeling this guy. No, you didn't. Shut up.
Let me just say this. Screw Matthew Berry and his 2,000-word, like, heartwarming leads.
Oh, my God. Matthew Berry sucks.
Screw him and his, like, morally compromised, I'm also shilling for DraftKings while writing for ESPN.
Yes.
That's
the thing. When these fantasy football analysts are, like, shilling for, oh, yeah, you should definitely put money into this and that, and I'm just like, no, shut up. Just go away. Yeah, I'm basically just going to be looking through, because I generally do like 100 to 150 big board every year for drafts. And now that I'm in two leagues, I'm like, okay, I actually want to take this seriously. But I don't want to listen to like all these fantasy draft, like these fantasy football experts, because they aren't good. I mean, I suck at it, but
look,
I don't want to
listen to them. Look, Chris Towers is a good dude.
I like Chris Towers. Chris Towers, a follower of AHAM on Twitter. So, yeah, you know, Chris Towers is a good dude.
There are a lot of people who write about fantasy that are good and cool. I just think the whole thing, I mean, look, the best ones, I think, make it very clear that they don't know Dick and they're taking their best guesses the same as all of us. But I like reading Chris. I'm sorry. Matthew Berry. Sorry, I don't know you personally. You might be a lovely man, but like, if you want to write your heartwarming Mitch like album stories, like, just I'm going to skip past them because I want to know who I should start and sit, and I don't care about your heartwarming stories. I find it incredibly self-indulgent. That's my take. Fuck Matthew Berry.
Oh my goodness.
Fuck Matthew Berry and his cameo in fucking Infinity Wars ass.
Fuck Matthew Berry. Chris Thomas, you're cool.
Yeah.
Or Chris Towers, you're cool.
Chris Towers, good.
Well, Chris Thomas is also cool. That's my cousin.
Yeah.
Tell Chris.
You guys caught that, right? You guys caught that Matthew Berry shows up as an FBI agent.
Yes.
No, I did not.
Yes.
Never saw Infinity War.
He talked about it on a podcast, and I was just like, oh, God, this is the worst thing ever.
Like, I'm sorry. That's bad casting. I know he didn't have a line, but or maybe he did. He may have said something like, hold on, I forget. But, like, some actor could have used that part. Like, fuck you for giving that to Matthew Berry.
Oh, speaking of Marvel movies, like, and actors, Bob, how excited are you about Willem Dafoe making a return to the Marvel?
Have they brought back Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin?
You haven't seen the trailer.
Of course I've seen the trailer. I saw both the trailer and, like, the grainy-ass TikTok leaked trailer hours before. I saw both of them.
Did you see the...
There's a pumpkin bomb. That's a faux piece. That's a false path.
It's happening. It's happening.
Look, you're getting Melina, and that's it. You're getting Melina, and you're getting... what's his name? Tobey Maguire, and you're getting that other guy who was
Andrew Garfield,
right?
The best actor of the three.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And it's not even close. It's not even particularly close.
No, I don't think that's necessarily.
I will say this: the Andrew Garfield Spider-Mans are actually, to me,
they're great.
They're more dramatic than
they're
should.
Fine.
The story with Emma Stone and him—they have natural chemistry. They were great.
They do. Well, weren't they dating at the time of one of the movies? Anyway, no, I actually like those better than the Tobey Maguire movies. But I like Tobey. But yeah, Spider-Man 3 kind of brings everything down.
I disagree. I saw that in theaters like 12 times. I was working in a movie theater in high school.
Two.
That was my first job. I was like 16. Loved it. It was so good.
Answer me this.
The dance. Remember the dance where he's like coming out of the place and he's dancing in the all black. That was like one of the most gifable.
A friend of mine is one of the women who like looks back at Tobey Maguire and goes, "Yeah, like what are you, some kind of weirdo for dancing like that on the street?" My friend is in that movie for two. Friend, someone I knew over a decade ago, has a brief cameo as woman who thinks Tobey Maguire is weird. Dancing like that.
Incredible.
And it's not Matthew Barry. It's not the friend that I'm referring to.
All right. Well, we can follow Bob on Twitter at Bob Saeta. Read him in the Daily Beast. Go subscribe to the Daily Beast if you have not already. Quality journalism over there. Also, quality journalism at the Detroit Free Press. So go subscribe to the Detroit Free Press and read Andrew Hammond and all the great writers at that very good newspaper in the Detroit area. We can follow Andrew on Twitter at @AhamFreePress. We can also follow myself at @Chase_Thomas. But if you like listening to us, guess what? We do this every single Friday afternoon. The sports reporters, we assemble Friday afternoon. Guys, I will talk to you next week. All right, hello. It's Friday afternoon, so you know what that means. The Atlanta sports guys are reconvening, and that means you're probably sitting somewhere on 285, the interchange, somewhere in Buckhead, wherever in Atlanta, because they have decided that things are going to be bad, and things are going to be bad for a while as they reconstruct the 285 interchange and all of that good stuff. So thankfully, you have the Atlanta sports guys to give you company while you sit in non-moving Atlanta traffic, where I am joined, as always, by Garrett Chapman of 99 The Game. Garrett, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. Got high school football tonight. It's going to be a great evening. I'm looking forward to it.
Funny you say that. Walter Nolan was on TV last night locally, so Maryville versus Powell was on in the gym. Like, it was incredible. I got my workout in, watched Powell, Maryville, Walter Nolan, future Vol, excuse me. I hope that was not a Freudian slip there. Not future Null. Who wants that? Man. It was great. High school
Even
football
the Tennessee
being
guy doesn't believe he's going.
Okay, that's enough. Also here, Max Markovich. Max, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. I heard Walter Nolan was actually a little underwhelming in that game. Can you confirm that?
He didn't do a lot. But also, Maryville is just a powerhouse. Like, I'm not looking... Maryville looks like a college when you're watching it on TV. Like, Maryville, it just means more. The Southern schools, like Texas and everything else, but Tennessee, Maryville is like the creme de la creme in East Tennessee.
Number one player in the country, defensive tackle. I want to see carnage.
You want to see carnage?
Well, especially if he's a defensive tackle, too, because those guys, they don't rely on anybody. They can just go in and just destroy people.
Well, if you want to see carnage, go watch back Parkview Mill Creek from the Corky Kell last weekend, because my Parkview Panthers got stomped in the Mill Creek game.
Oh, man.
It's brutal.
Oof. There were a lot of blowouts in the Corky Kell. I was there on Thursday. I think I was telling you guys this last – or Wednesday of last week, so the opening night, and both of those games turned into absolute blowouts.
Who was it?
It was It was I know Mays was playing. Carver Atlanta played West Forsyth, and West Forsyth just beat him. They killed him. Who played in that first game? It was Mays and somebody else. I can't remember that fourth team, but they whooped him. They absolutely killed him. But no, I mean, it's Corky Kell, man. You never know what happens with those things. I mean, I think a lot of teams, they're very good for their classification, but they're just outmatched when they go play in that Corky Kell Classic.
Wasn't Hoover in it?
Hoover played North Gwinnett. I don't remember what was the outcome of that game.
I'm not sure, but I do remember that Hoover was in it, which is kind of funny. Rush Probst alum, which, by the way, guys, I am so dang excited to watch that Netflix show tonight. Have y'all seen this?
What?
Valdosta Rush High Probst? School from last year. They did a whole documentary with Rush Probst and Valdosta
no
High
way.
School. Yes. Friday Night Lights feel like a whole thing. Week
oh
in, week
my
out.
God. How did you not send this in the group?
I thought I did. I posted it. I thought I did. Okay, maybe I didn't. But yeah, it's Valdosta. I forgot what it's called. Hold on. Let me pull this up. What it's actually called.
Hoover killed North Gwinnett.
Oh, did they?
14. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Valdosta. Let me see. Valdosta Netflix show. Y'all are going to love this. It's going to be so great. It's like Friday Night Lights. Oh, Title Town High is what it's called.
Hell yes. Absolutely watching.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah, it comes out today.
Oh, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, we should have reviewed on the podcast, actually. We need to do... Yes, okay.
God, we could dedicate a whole episode to that. That'd be incredible.
It's sort of homework for next week, you know?
If y'all can swing it, I'm absolutely here to do a Title Town High special podcast next week.
I'm in. I'm absolutely in.
All right. Well, guys, and it's funny. The reason I brought up at the top of the show the 285 stuff, have y'all read... Like, y'all are still there, like me being in Knoxville. I'm pushed away these days, but... I was reading like quotes from people in Roswell and everything, and they're like, because I think they just approved like a huge addition to 285 and the Buckhead area, and we all know what 400 285 looks like, and they just added a bunch, but they were like, yeah, it's gonna be awful for 2 years, so if you could avoid that, avoid it. Like, that was what they were saying. And I was like, what does that even mean? They're just like, it's gonna be even worse.
Well, it's like when they say it's going to be awful, like we thought the last 20 whatever years were awful.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean awful? What does that look like?
Right. Like, I don't know how it could get worse. Like, that is just a notoriously horrendous situation. 400, you might as well just like,
like, especially that spot where 285 means 400.
Yeah, but that's where they're working on it.
Well, because they have 400 that just... So, you know, when you're coming into and you merge onto 400 North coming from 285, I guess that'd be east,
mm-hmm.
and how they basically you just have to jut out there real quick. You only have like 25 feet to accelerate and get in. And it's just terrible. It's so poorly constructed. I'm shocked that there aren't more accidents there. I mean, I think
there are enough accidents on 400 and 285.
Dude, my rule for driving in the city of Atlanta is stay off the triple digit highways.
But you can't always do that. I agree with you.
You can't do that.
Surface streets as best I can until I can't anymore.
How long is it going to take you to get to and from the airport with side streets?
I don't have to get to and from the airport with triple digit highways, though. That's the thing. I can take 85 and 75 and I'm fine.
Okay, that's fair.
Because those are massive highways, and I mean, they're just better constructed.
True. There you go. There's our highway talk in Atlanta for the Atlanta sports guys.
We are the Atlanta sports guys, so we gotta bring the Atlanta in, right?
I mean, it's part of it. So when people complain about traffic in other areas, like I've heard someone say, yeah, the traffic was a little slow in Knoxville today, and I was like, that's offensive. Like, that's an offensive thing to say to me, is like the traffic was bad in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm like, no, you moved a little bit slower than you're accustomed to. You were moving. There's no standstill Knoxville traffic. Like, even on Kingston, like, you're still moving. Just not as fast as you would like. Atlanta, you're not moving for hours. Have you ever peed in a cup because you realized that you were not getting out of your car and not going to be able to maneuver off to an exit for at least an hour? Yeah, done that. Been there, done that multiple times. It's a horrible experience.
Man, multiple times?
This podcast.
I cannot say that I've ever done that.
Yes.
My whole life. Really?
Twice.
Maybe
yes.
During the snowpocalypse of 2013 or 2014.
Oh,
I bet there are a lot of people who did that.
I mean, that's
like TikTok story times.
Yeah, there you go.
What you got for us, Chase?
No, I mean, it was horrible. Like, that was like when I called my mom. I remember the first time, and I was like, Mom, like I'm in a lot of trouble here because there's a bad wreck, and I'm looking on. I think it was still probably ways at the time. And I was looking at it and I was like, Mom, bad wreck, blood red, like hour and a half for me to get to her. And I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. And I'm in the middle lane. And she's like, hey, you got to do what you got to do. But that was like a whole thing where I was like, I was screwed.
What did you do with the bottle?
Oh, I mean, obviously when I got home, in the trash can. But like... okay, I didn't do.
Put it in the trash can, like full.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
All this under things I never wanted to know about Chase Thomas.
Well, now I don't. I assume I did that, but I can't confirm or deny. I don't remember if I dumped it out or not. But I remember putting it in the trash. I don't know. That's a good question. I'd have to go back and think about it. Let's run the tape.
Sports, huh?
I don't even know how to transition out of this.
Speaking of peeing in bottles,
Javion Hawkins.
Speaking of pissing in bed.
Oh god, that's funny.
Our favorite Javion Hawkins released this week by the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not saying it was a direct shot at this very podcast from Falcons management, but I'm also not saying that it wasn't. What do we make about Hawkins going down, Garrett?
See, I was actually a big fan of Javion Hawkins coming back. I thought that if he was, but it's like at the end of the day, like this is a really early cut for him too, which means that he just wasn't up to snuff, you know, or maybe he was just clearly that odd guy out. And because I thought he was at least going to be a practice squad guy, but look, I mean, somebody made this note on Twitter, basically that it was like, if he was going to be a practice squad guy, they would have cut him at the last cuts. So clearly he was just not a part of this Falcon team's future. So I'm a little disappointed because I saw some potential in the guy when I watched him play last year. I'm a little disappointed. But, I mean, look, it is what it is. And this is the time for these tough, tough decisions for the coaching staff.
Deontay Foreman making this roster, it looks like, is just baffling. Like, out of nowhere, street free agent Deontay Foreman, former Texas legend, in this group. Caleb Huntley still in the mix. Quadri Allison obviously is impressed. It seems like he's going to get a lot of opportunities. What a remade running back room, right, Max? Like, how long ago does it feel like we just had Ito Smith and our guy who, what was his name? Mike Hill. Well, no, what was it? Hill. I'm already forget. Brian Hill. Hill. Yeah. The number 23.
Brian Hill.
I want to, you know, I love a good conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. And I agree with everything Garrett just said. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, but does it not ring any alarm bells that the Titans claimed him off waivers? The Titans, the Tennessee Titans, who Arthur Smith used to coach, who we traded Julio to, who he clearly has a relationship with, claiming a guy who was like among the first cuts from the Falcons. Like, I was a guy, I was sort of sounding the alarm on Javion Hawkins on this podcast. Like, hey guys, you know, probably not a shoe-in that this undrafted free agent rookie running back makes the roster. But it is interesting that they claimed him and that we didn't even make an effort sort of to get him on the practice squad. And I don't know.
He's got to clear waivers for him to hit. So it's like everybody gets cut and then it's like everyone has, it's like a free for all to go see who clears waivers and who doesn't. And if they clear waivers, then it's like, fine, you can stick him on the practice squad. But it seemed kind of weird that it's like the Titans seemed to be,
but wasn't he claimed on waivers? And usually teams make those decisions around the fringes of their rosters, like when other teams make their final cuts, right? Like, because those are the guys who were closer to making the team, presumably.
I guess. I don't really know the running back situation in Tennessee behind Derrick Henry. I mean, obviously everyone knows Derrick Henry. I mean, shit, he's Derrick Henry. 2,000 yards, 17 touchdowns last year. But I don't know who their backup back is, so I guess they have a competition for that position.
Well, I mean, it might be. Do you know who else it is? Old friend Brian Hill.
No
You're
way.
Kidding.
Yes, Brian Hill is also in this running back room.
Why are the Titans and the Falcons so inexplicably linked with all these freaking players? It's so weird. It's so strange. Just like the past year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess going back to the running back room, I never thought it was a shoe-in that Javion Hawkins was going to make the roster. I mean, I did think he was interesting. I can't say I've watched every snap of preseason, so I don't have a formed opinion on you know, who's going to be the third, fourth, fifth running back, whatever. But it did seem like Caleb Huntley was making an impression, and I think you're certainly not going to keep two undrafted rookie free agent running backs, right? And so if it was as simple as they liked Huntley more than Hawkins, then I guess it would make sense to cut Hawkins early, do him a solid, put in a call with the Titans and say, this guy's got some talent, you might want to check him out, get him on your practice squad. But like, it feels unnecessary. Like, I don't know. It just feels weird.
Well, I mean, once you get onto the team, I feel like it doesn't really matter where you're – well, to an extent, it doesn't really matter where you were drafted or if you were drafted at all. I think that's one of the cool things that I learned from watching a lot of the Hard Knocks documentaries past couple of years. It's like once you get there, unless you're Kyle Pitts or they've invested like a top four draft pick in you, they don't really give a shit. Like once you're on the field and practicing and playing, then it's the coach's world and he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, I mean, in particularly with a new staff and a new GM, and like they don't care what
Padre Allison's status
was or anything like that.
Who cares? I mean, so it's like, but I feel like the preseason, as far as the games are concerned, we haven't really seen all that much. I mean, I've watched enough of preseason to know that it's like I can't really gather anything from this offense. I was more interested to see the defense and see the way they line up and see the way they attack the opposing teams. And I think they've done that exceptionally well, and that bodes well for this defense with DMPs at the helm. But then you flip around, but this running back room, I really haven't seen anything at all. But Foreman was getting a lot of the carries in the second game, and hopefully, apparently, I was just like, Torrey McElhaney just tweeted that we are pretty much on starter watch at this point. We might actually be able to see some of the actual people who are playing on Sundays for us. So that's really something we need to keep an eye out for on Sunday.
Gosh, you know what would be incredible is if we could ever watch Kyle Pitts play football.
That'd I wonder. Cool. Does he actually – he straps on pads, he takes some pictures, and then what? it's absurd, man. It kills me.
He's following the Julio regiment.
I don't know about that. I don't want to say that. I don't know if Julio's actually – well, he did some drills for the Titans. I don't know if he's actually practiced outside of that.
Yeah. I'm not worried about Kyle Pitts. He's the least of my concerns. Like I am
no, I just want to see him play football.
Yeah.
Before the Eagles game.
Well, didn't Arthur Smith say this week that everybody's going to play Sunday night?
He said anybody could play.
Okay.
I'm going to go pull up this exact quote. Hold on.
He made it sound like everyone's on the table.
He did. He did make it seem like the starters would play an undisclosed amount.
He said,
that
quote,
probably
majority.
Included Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm. He said, quote, the majority of these guys will play on Sunday. So take that for what you will.
Okay. Your final preseason looks. What are you looking for, Max, with this final preseason matchup before we kick off the regular season?
I mean, if the starters are going to play, I'm looking for some sort of coherence, right? I mean, I think we're probably pretty bullish on the offense, like, short-term and long-term, I think. At least I'm pretty bullish on the offense. But, like, it would be nice to – it is still a new scheme. It is a lot of new guys. And I would like to see some evidence that it's clicking. We haven't really seen anything, I guess, is what I'm saying. So it's like everything's brand new, and I'd like some evidence that this offense that I think has the talent to be pretty darn good right away has some backbone behind it. I mean, other than that, you're looking at the offensive line, of course, because I think, as we've discussed, sort of ad nauseum, that's the key here, is whether that group can gel. And, you know, whether Matt Ryan has sort of picked this up seamlessly. I think there was some thought that when Arthur Smith was hired, it would sort of be like a reversion to the Kyle Shanahan type of scheme that Matt Ryan obviously won MVP with. And, you know, I'm not expecting that this year, obviously, but if it is more familiar to him than any of the other number of schemes that he's played in his career with any number of the offensive coordinators, then that's something that I'm hoping he can pick up pretty quickly. So I guess just in the last preseason game, I'm looking at the offense and just like, I know they're not going to game plan. They're not going to like put in a whole, preset plays or anything like that. But I just want to see some sort of coherence, I guess.
Garrett, what about you?
I mean, the offensive line, it starts and stops with them on the offensive side because, I mean, we know what Russell Gage and Calvin Ridley and we know what Kyle Pitts is going to be and Matt Ryan. I'm not terribly concerned about those guys. I kind of want to see Josh Rosen. I don't know why.
I'm
fascinated
anymore
with the idea of Josh Rosen.
There's no reason to be.
I would love to have a Josh Rosen discussion.
No, but seriously, when Josh Rosen was coming out, I saw his ceiling as a Matt Ryan prototype. I don't know why I saw that comparison. Now, obviously, as far as like the mental game of what Matt Ryan is versus Josh Rosen, I have no idea because I'm not in and around Josh Rosen, but I see what Matt Ryan does and the way he interacts with his teammates, and how he just sort of dominates a locker room. But as far as the physical traits are concerned, I saw a lot of Matt Ryan in Josh Rosen. So why not bring him into Atlanta? You know, I mean, take a flyer on him. If you cut him, you cut him. Who cares? Matt Ryan is, I mean, quite possibly the best starting quarterback to have over a guy who's probably not going to play too much. I mean, I think a backup quarterback has only started 3 games in Matt Ryan's career. So who cares? He's going to stay on the bench for the majority of the season, but I don't know. I kind of want to see what he can do. But on the defensive side, I'm looking at the secondary. I want to see what A.J. Terrell can do and who's going to start on the other side. If it's Isaiah Oliver or Fabian Moreau, I want to see if Richie Grant can come out and make some plays again. I mean, the secondary is very important for this Falcons team because, I mean, like, look, they're young and they're inexperienced at a lot of positions and a lot of new faces. So that's really something I want to see what Dean Pease can do with this defense.
Okay. Well, there you go. We'll see. I'm just excited for actual regular season Falcons football. There was a
Baker Mayfield is looking to start, apparently.
Baker Mayfield. Jalen Mayfield?
Oh, Baker, because we're playing the
Okay. Like okay, yes. Okay, there you go. Baker Mayfield. What are we talking about now? Okay. speaking of, just I'm looking for an offensive line that doesn't scare me beyond I don't want a Willie Beavers in my starting offensive line group. That's something I don't want. The best infield in Braves history. There's a piece in Sports Talk ATL about this. When you saw this, Garrett, your immediate reaction?
Yes.
Oh.
And well, it could be. Why not? I mean, look, this is the first time we've had a shortstop hit more than 25 home runs. You have Ozzie Albies on the other side, who's this is the best duo at the middle of infield. Not to mention the fact that we have Freddie Freeman, who's a perennial MVP candidate, and Austin Riley, who looks like a damn MVP candidate this year. Mm. I mean, we have all four of our infielders have a chance to hit 30 plus home runs.
Yeah,
that is incredible. So yeah, I mean, I don't know who else would really compete with this group. I mean, like, of course the Braves have had plenty of fantastic infields.
I was always partial to the Chipper, Rafael Furcal, Marcus Giles.
Yeah, and Adam LaRoche over there on that first base. I mean, like, it's a good group, but I think this group has more potential. And add in the fact that 3 of the 4 are under the age of 25 or 26, that's pretty damn cool. So
yeah,
I think the potential is very high for this group. They certainly can stick together for the foreseeable future. Just give Freddie a damn contract and I'll feel a little bit better. But I mean, yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't be.
We'll see. We'll see. Max, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know about best ever, but this is sort of the backbone of all of this right now. I mean, all four of those guys, Freddie, Ozzie, Dansby, and Austin Riley have played at least 124 games. No one else on the team has played more than has played more than 100. They all have over 500 plate appearances. No one else has over 350, I think. They all have an OPS plus above 100. I mean, that's the core of the lineup right now, and that's sort of driving everything. And it's kind of funny in hindsight that I don't know if we were panicked per se about Freddie, but all of that angst or whatever, he's about to put up a completely vintage Freddie season.
The worry with Freddie is paying Freddie. That's my concern.
Yeah, well,
it was also Freddie adding in the fact that the team just wasn't really playing well as a whole, and then it was like, oh, is it all on Freddie or whatever? And there was just so many storylines, and everything was just kind of crazy. We were just sort of the sky is falling situation.
Yeah, there's one thing I know about Major League Baseball. It's that one player changes everything. Like, that's why Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout have won multiple World Series rings in Los Angeles. It's because one player affects everything.
Oh, God.
I mean, give Shohei. I mean, come on.
Best player in baseball, not going to be in the playoffs again.
Are they that far out?
Yeah, they're done. They're like 500, maybe a game or two below, I think. Yeah, they're not making playoffs. Have you seen that rotation? They stink.
Yeah.
They're not making playoffs again.
It's just fantastic for baseball.
Yeah, it's a great 13 look.
13 games back behind the Mariners, too. Mariners are actually quietly having a good season. Also, can we talk about the fact that the Atlanta Braves haven't won a game since Sunday? I saw Mark Bowman had tweeted this. The Atlanta Braves haven't won a game since Sunday and still gained a half game on both the Phillies and on the Mets. How incredible
is that? That's the NL East.
Nobody wants to win this division. It's a beautiful
Braves
thing.
Do. That's it.
I guess the Braves do. That is correct. Last thing, and we'll talk Hawks quickly here, guys. Ranked third in the Eastern Conference power rankings per NBA.com. Does that feel about right to you, Garrett?
Yeah, I think somebody posted a like a win-loss prediction, and I think I plug them like maybe like 52 to 54 wins maybe next year, just because I think that's appropriate, and I think that's going to stick them right around that 3 or 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. I mean, whether or not they make that, I don't know, because you have the Nets who are quite possible. I mean, they have the star-studded talent. Obviously, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference if all they're healthy. But at the same time, I don't know how many of those guys are necessarily going to play full minutes during the regular season because, look, I mean, why would they? Because they have their sights set on an NBA Finals, not a number one seed in the Eastern Conference. So they could – I mean, the Hawks could surprise some folks and win the Eastern Conference next year, but only because – but are they better than the Nets? No. I don't think they are necessarily, but third sounds pretty good for me right now. I like that.
I might be a little bit higher because who finished first – it was the Sixers. Like, they're extremely volatile. Like, I have no idea. Like, if they trade Ben Simmons, like, we have to recalibrate everything. Joel Embiid's health, that's a big thing. Like, the Sixers are, I don't know. I could see us in
fourth. That's what I'm saying.
Like, if they fall down.
The Bucks, you have the defending champions at two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and in the Nets, we don't know how many games they play. Like, we don't know what the health of KD, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant will be like next year. They are legit. They're the favorites. Like, if they're healthy, they're winning the NBA title. But, like, if they're not, things are, which is a possibility. We just saw it with LA last year. Milwaukee coming back from winning the title, but they only won 5 more games than the Hawks in the regular season last year. It's not like they blew everyone out of the water like they had done the previous 2 years under Bud. And then you're like, the Hawks should be better than the Knicks. The wild card to me of who could pass them, who the Hawks finished in front of last year, is the Heat. The Heat are the wild card. We're like, they're going to play a bunch of vets. Kyle Lowry's addition is going to be good for them. Lowry, Adebayo, PJ Tucker, Jimmy. They're going to win. I feel like a lot of regular season games. I could be wrong.
I'm out on the Heat.
Oh,
I'm just going to get ahead. I'm going to get ahead of that. I think they're way over. I've seen a lot of stuff preseason. I don't even know. I guess we are preseason at this point. But with the Heat, it's sort of in that, if not 1A tier, 1B tier in the East with like Philly and then the Hawks below that. I think that's ridiculous. I don't love this Heat roster. I don't think, I don't know. Their title run was a little fluky, but you know, whatever. You can say the same thing about the Hawks, I guess. And I just think that roster is like kind of aging. I don't think PJ Tucker is useful at all anymore. And I don't know if paying Kyle Lowry is really going to fix much of what was a problem for them last year. I know, Chase, you're all over the Heat, and you thought they were going to sweep the Hawks and yada, yada, yada. But as for the Hawks, I think third is right. I don't think you can put the Sixers above them right now. If the Sixers traded Ben Simmons for Dame Lillard tomorrow, then, yeah, we could have that discussion, but that hasn't happened. And you know, you can only sort of evaluate it based on what's on paper. And if the Nets are healthy, they probably win the title, and the Bucks did win the title. So you can't put the Hawks above either of those teams. Mm-hmm. But I saw something on Twitter this week I thought was interesting. The question of whether which team is better right now, the Hawks or the Warriors.
Oh.
And I don't know my answer.
I would say the Hawks.
I would say too.
I think I would too. But that's crazy because, like, I don't
really?
Know.
Healthy Klay.
Healthy Klay. All those young guys, a few of them are going to hit. Draymond, you know, fully engaged with
I mean, that's a series I would love to see more than anything. That would be so much fun.
Because they're very similar teams. That would be a lot of fun. I think, obviously, the Hawks have more depth. So I think in a 7-game series, I would say the Hawks would win. So, yeah, I'm going to go Hawks. Maybe Hawks in, like, 6. That would be just
looks like Millsap might end up in Golden State, too, by the way.
Ooh, I like that, actually. That's a good fit for him, actually. I like that.
I don't know. That's a good question. I would like to see it. Speaking of other things I would like to see, the Hawks on Christmas Day at noon against the Knicks. I am overjoyed at the number of national TV
Trey's
games.
Trey's going to score 85 points.
Dude, have you guys seen all this stuff with these Knicks podcasts and everything? That was another thing I just saw on Twitter before we hopped on here. I just quote tweeted it just with the Trae Young shushing they give or whatever. But dude, these guys are so upset about the Hawks and the way that the Hawks just live rent free in a lot of these Knicks fans' heads. It's just absolutely comical at this point.
They won one playoff game and stormed the streets of New York chanting, "We want Brooklyn." Like, get out of here.
And then they add Kemba Walker and think that they're going to, like, they're all of a sudden, like, championship contenders. What are you talking about, man? I mean, the Hawks beat you in five games and embarrassed you. Like, I don't understand where they get all this cockiness from, except for the fact that they are the self-proclaimed mecca of basketball.
Yeah.
It's neither here nor there, though. I don't feel any type of way.
Garrett, we can follow you on Twitter at GChapATL. Max,
yes, sir.
We can follow you at Max_Markovich. We'll be back next Friday, as we are every single Friday afternoon, the Atlanta Sports Guys. It's one of our a very delightful thing, and we'll be doing Titletown High next week too. I'm here for Titletown High. I cannot wait for tonight. I'm also going to a high school football game tonight, so I'm excited about that as well. Guys, enjoy the Atlanta traffic, specifically Garrett.
I'll be driving up to Roswell.
Oh no.
That's great. Blessed Trinity and Marist tonight.
There you go. Okay.
That's going to be a great football game, though.
There you go. The battle of the private schools. All right. Garrett, Max.
I'm a private school kid.
Wait, we know. Garrett, Max, thanks so much.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Oh, I love it.
I just want to be a dick to wrap up.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.